The following programming is sponsored by Bloomer's Home and Garden Center. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Welcome to Bloomer's in the Garden. I'm Len Schroeder.
And I'm Julio Zamora.
Steve from Broomwall contacted his father-in-law's hotline and asked questions about his lawn renovation project. Hear all about it in our first segment.
Continuing in the lawn, many of you have had moss growing in your lawn, choking out your grass. We'll give you solutions in our second segment.
One of the most beautiful landscape plants are dwarf lilacs. We'll have you heading to your local garden center to add them to your yard after listening to our third segment.
Every year about this time, our people are playing chicken with a frost-free date. We'll help you navigate through this precarious time in our fourth segment.
Feeding any of your plants is as easy as 1, 2, 3. It doesn't matter. Indoor, outdoor, landscape, vegetables. Don't make it so hard. We'll give you the magic formula of feeding plants in our final segment.
So stay tuned. We'll be right back in the garden right after these messages. Bloomers in the Garden is brought to you each week by Bloomers Home and Garden Center. Bloomers is an award-winning garden center just 20 minutes from Philadelphia. Bloomers has been providing expert advice, turning brown thumbs green, for over 30 years. At Bloomers, we want you to ask us every question, even if you think it's silly. We share information in a friendly, non-judgmental way that is meant to teach and spread the joy of gardening. Visit Bloomers Home and Garden Center in Washington Township, Gloucester County. For directions, go to bloomers.com, and we'll see you in the garden. Fertiloam's Triple Action contains 70% neem oil and 0.25% pyrethrins as a concentrate and ready to spray. It is an insecticide, fungicide, and miticide labeled to use on vegetables, fruits, nuts, herbs, spices, and ornamentals. This organic OMRI-listed product controls a wide variety of insect pests and diseases, including aphids, scale, spider mites, white flies, rust, leaf spot, and powdery mildew. This insecticide is an all-in-one bottle that will cure just about any problem you may run into throughout the year. Fertiloam's Triple Action has been helping gardeners across the country for years. Best to apply in late evening and early morning hours. Mix 1 ounce, which is equivalent to 2 tablespoons, in a gallon of water. The best part is, Triple Action may be used up to the day of harvest. So, the next time you are visiting your favorite garden center, ask for Fertiloam's Triple Action and expect to have the best-looking plants in the neighborhood.
You're listening to Bloomers in the Garden Radio. Listen anytime through your favorite podcast provider or see and hear us by subscribing to Bloomers YouTube channel. Bloomers in the Garden Radio is heard in Philadelphia and throughout the whole Delaware Valley every Saturday. First, wake up with us at 6 a.m. on WNWR The Word at 95.3 FM and 1540 AM. Tune in at 8 a.m. to Bloomers in the Garden Radio on Talk 860 WWDB. A rebroadcast of Bloomers in the Garden Radio is played each Saturday evening at 5 p.m. on The Word, 95.3 FM and 1540 AM. On Sunday at 8 a.m., we can be heard throughout the New York tri-state area on Classic Oldies, 1250 AM WMTR. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the garden. Steve from Broomall is a fairly new homeowner.
Yes, he is.
Determined to whip his lawn into shape.
All right, Steve.
Not only that, he happens to be my son-in-law and soon to be father of my first grandbaby.
Oh, can't wait for that. It's going to be great.
It's going to be a grandson.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, you're going to be playing ball.
I don't know. We're going to do those grandfatherly things.
That's right, soccer games. And
My sister got me a shirt that says, Grandfather.
Oh, yeah.
Like a dad, but cooler.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
Anyway. So Steve's been, you know, Steve, he's never really taken care of, had to take care of a lawn, you know, from Philly area that, and now, now he does.
Yeah, now he's
And I did mention he's married to my daughter,
right,
who works at Bloomers for a long, long time.
So you better pick this up.
Right. But then she got a real job.
Okay.
So look, the biggest question, Steve, was trying to level, like he had divots and things in his lawn. And, you know, as he said, you could turn an ankle. It's like the baby's not ready to walk yet. No. It hasn't even been born.
Oh my gosh.
He had 7 yards of topsoil.
Now
I bet he has blisters.
Yeah. Oh, he did this himself.
Yeah, he did it himself.
Wow. Seven.
Yeah.
Seven yards. My goodness.
7 yards of topsoil.
He asked
me how much soil he needed, and it was like 54 yards. Because he gave me the entire dimensions. Like, look, an inch deep, this is how much you need.
Right.
So I said, why don't you just start small? And 7 yards is pretty good. Mm-hmm. And he was leveling it out, and he put some seed down.
Oh, he did.
And he did. He did. And one of the things, if you're doing that, like if you're trying to level your ground, he was smart enough, and because he listened to me, at least he pretends. That's why he got to this point and to the family. You know, Steve's a good guy. Steve's a real good guy.
He is.
So you need to get the seed in contact with the soil. We talked last week a little bit about growing grass seed. But if you have those areas where you've got dead, like crabgrass, or you sprayed clover, like that's his instance. He had clover. And so he sprayed the clover all died, and then he reseeded where the clover was. But the problem was is it made the lawn unlevel, so he had to bring the soil in. If you have thatch or you have dead weeds or things like that, and you think that your soil, your seed is going to germinate because of the soil. It's not because you can't get the seed in the soil. You have to rake it down and rake it out and get it in contact with the soil. You can't just kind of add some soil, put some seed down, because you're going to have a layering effect where you'll have the layer of the thatch, you're going to have the seed, and then you're going to have the new soil that you put on top. But the problem is that once it grows and sprouts and it tries to get into that thatch layer, it's not going to do real well. So it's always going to be kind of weak. And a lot of folks who have lawns that they have insects and stuff in their lawn and it doesn't look real good, insects and diseases prey on that, where they don't go to a healthy lawn, that they're going to those lawns that are already in bad shape. So Steve did rake out the area and got the seed in contact with the soil, put the new soil on top, and that he asked all about water. Does not have a sprinkler system.
He doesn't. Okay.
No. And most people, you know, a lot of people don't. But you still have to keep that soil moist so that it breaks down the seed coat around the seed and then sprouts. If you're only watering... And sprinkler guys, we talked about it last week. Sprinkler guys, they all say, "Oh, just put it on for 10 minutes. That's all. That's all you want. 10 minutes, and each zone. That's not going to do anything. You know, you need to water just like we get rain. A rain that lasts for 10 minutes is not going to do anything. And you have to assimilate rain. You want it to get the soil wet and moist. You don't want it to the point of runoff, but that's about where you want. And the best time to do it is not in the evening. The best time to do it is in the morning. It's like around 5 a.m. And, you know, like a lot of, like, children, they use your Amazon Prime account. Yeah, I get to see what they're buying. But then the only problem with that is they get to see what I'm buying, too. I saw that he bought a timer, which is smart.
Good.
You know, you'd put the timer on because you always are a big component of soaker hoses, right?
Oh, yeah.
But where he was going to put them in a series, the sprinklers in a series, and then have the timer go off, and then the sprinklers would water. And that's a good idea.
It is good.
I showed him, and he thought it was really cool they still make them. These things are, this is old technology. I mean, this has been around since, I think, the 30s, 40s, where there's little tractor sprinklers where they follow the hose.
Yeah, to follow the hose.
That's very cool. So if you have a pretty big, you have a pretty big lawn, but they're pricey. They're $100 and something, but they'll follow everywhere you need it to go because they follow that hose. And that's one thing. If you have like a 3/4 inch heavy hose, you know, they're only going to pull that hose as far as it can. you know, all of a sudden, if you've got 20 feet of hose behind it, you know, that might not work too well. But again, you'll get 40 foot of area of sprinkling done.
That's pretty good.
And that you can place shutoffs and it will shut off automatically. And they look like a little tractor sprinkler and that you put it on and it does its thing.
Wow, that's awesome.
I mean, it to me, like I'd spend out all my time out there watching it.
You're watching it all the time.
Look at that. It turned the corner. And it shut off. What are you doing? I'm not watching the grass grow. Well, kind of.
Right.
Anyway. But make sure that you're keeping your lawn watered to get that seed to germinate. The brown part, when you have grass seed in your hand and you look and the grass seed is tan, that tan is the seed coat. And that has to get broken down in order for the what comes first, the chick? No, not the chicken idea. What comes first, the root or the leaf?
The root comes first.
The root comes first out of that seed. And that could be if your vegetables, if your grass seed, it doesn't matter. They all do the same thing where they'll send a root hair out. And you have to make sure that, I was teasing Julio last week about how having that soil moist so that root hair grows and gets into the soil and then expands into the soil. Because if it goes and it sends that root hair in and it's a little moist, but then you don't water it and it goes dry, what happens, Julio?
It dies.
You got dead seed.
Yeah, bad.
Dead seed. They said, that stuff doesn't work.
Yeah, you're right. The seed doesn't work.
I used it. It doesn't work. Look, the results are on you folks. You know, like our warranty, like we warranty our nursery plants, you know, but in our warranty, it says, we'll guarantee them to be alive in a year, but it's up to you to make them thrive. I mean, they may be ugly looking, but they're alive.
Yeah,
that warranty is over. You know, if they're not thriving, that's back on you. So same thing with like grass seed. You need to make it thrive. You need to put some work in and you need to do it right and be prepared. Don't like just go buy seed and throw it around like you're, you know, just Johnny Appleseed throwing things around. You need to make sure that you're prepared to water it and to keep it watered. You want to water it enough so that it's, you don't want the soil to run off. So you don't want it like in where Steve is, that there's some, his backyard is actually kind of to mounted. There's a slope to it. So you need to water it enough to the point just before it begins to run, because what happens is that soil runs and it takes the seed with it. And then you end up, you know, with your seed in the street and you have bare spots again.
Nothing. Yes.
So moist, but not wet. Moist, but not wet. Steve asked a good question. He said, well, what about those areas where I put the seed down and there's like 3 inches of soil on top? I told him not to be too concerned. Because what'll happen is that the water will compact that soil a little bit and it will come up. And that if you have the inclination that that to compact that soil, they used to have like rollers that you used to be able to rent, and they were like these metal things that you drums that you'd fill with water and you'd push around. And that's something you could do that makes it good seed to soil contact. And that's ultimately what you want. So one, you want to make sure that it's not growing in thatch or weeds. Two, you want to make sure that you put the soil down and the seed down and make sure that it gets in contact with one another. Three, if you can and have the inclination, do you want to compact that seed down after you've put the soil on top and push it down? And number four is you want to water it to the point just before runoff. You don't want it to run off, not too much water. So if you think you have a sprinkler and everything's great, that may be, but you have to make sure that the sprinkler is on to the point where it's not, the water isn't running, you know, isn't taking that seed away. Anything to add to help Steve out?
No, it sounds like he's doing a good job.
He is.
Yeah.
He is. Oh, yeah. He had 2 or 3 days where.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine.
He's got a friend, Bob. Bob, you listening out there?
Bob's helping.
They're competitors. They're competitors.
Oh,
Bob is a listener. You used to be of Bloomers in the Garden. I haven't talked to him in a while. But,
they're going at it.
Yeah.
Who's got the greener grass?
Yeah, Bob came. We horticultural sparred.
Oh. Once,
you know, I was like, oh, he took a swing.
Took a swing
and I ducked and came up with him. You need Molly Bananum. I was like, I'll take that. Anyway. anyway.
Way to go, Steve. You've done a good work.
Yeah, that's it.
Get out there and do more.
That's
he's
it.
Only got part of, he's only got part of it done, right?
Yeah, yeah. He chose to do it in patches.
Okay.
Just
so
simply, you know, it's a lot of work. I mean, for what he's doing.
Sure.
For what he's doing, so.
Doing a good work. There you go, Steve.
Yep. Now, we could only narrow down on a name, you know.
They haven't done that yet. Oh,
well, he's working on it. They're working on it.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. My daughter, I love her. She's like being real patient. It's going to be Steve. We're going to have a lot of input from Steve.
Oh, wow.
They didn't they didn't like my choices.
Didn't like your choices?
No.
Dad's out of the picture.
Oh, and as far as name for grandfather, I had to name myself for what the kid call me.
Oh, no.
You know, it's like, what do you mean? What do you kid gonna call me? That's like the kid will call me what he wants to call me.
Yeah, he'll bring it up.
But I chose Pop is what it chose out of respect for my father was called that for my kids.
There you go. Pass it on.
Yeah, Melissa didn't think that he'd be able to say Grand Poopah Sultan of all.
What?
I was going to try that.
So what if he calls it like something like Gumby or something?
Gumby?
Would you be willing to rock with it?
That's my grandson. You don't mess around. You can call me whatever you want.
All right, there you go.
If you got a problem with it, you're going to have to see me.
It's interesting because a lot of the nicknames for Pop-Pops and things like that come because some of the kids can't pronounce Grandpa. That's how my uncle actually has his grandson's called Gumby. My cousin calls
Gumby.
Gumby. Some of them say Gumpy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
See, I was leaning maybe towards Popeye's grandfather, you know, Pappy.
Pappy.
I'm the baby's Pappy.
Yeah, I got that white beard going.
Oh, man.
All right. We're going to be back in the garden, not talking about grandkids, but God, I want my revenge.
Yeah.
I've listened to the women in the office and at Bloomers talking about their grandkids going poopy on the potty for 35 years. So I'm going to get my revenge.
Congratulations to you, man.
Thank you.
It's coming.
Exciting. We'll be back in the garden right after this. Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden. Wanting to up your game in the vegetable garden? With 90 years of organic gardening experience, the Espoma Company has you covered. Espoma Organic Garden Tone is not your average garden variety fertilizer. Garden Tone is especially blended for organic vegetable gardens. Its all-natural formula contains Biotone, a blend of organic ingredients that supplies essential nutrients for strong, healthy plants and mouth-watering vegetables. Its slow-release formula provides continuous feeding. The Biotone contained in Garden Tone is a combination of organic ingredients and beneficial microbes to help roots grow deeper and faster for bigger, more bountiful harvests. Garden Tone is simple to use and safe for people, pets, and the planet. No harmful chemicals or synthetic fertilizers are ever added. You can find Garden Tone at fine garden centers. Visit Espoma.com to find a retailer near you. Garden Tone from Espoma, a natural in the garden since 1929.
Last year, millions of Americans asked the internet about protecting their lawns and gardens. There's one simple answer: BioAdvanced. Because gardeners have trusted the blue bottle for decades. Invasive insects? Blue bottle. Lawn fungus? Blue bottle. Japanese beetles? Blue bottle. A BioAdvanced answer for every question and guaranteed solutions for every problem. BioAdvanced. Get more from the blue bottle. BioAdvanced All-in-One Rose and Flower Care controls insects and diseases, plus feeds.
Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. Well, then, you know, we've had a lot of people calling us about moss problems.
I've got it. I have moss in the middle of my lawn. I'm looking. I was like, what the heck is that?
In the middle,
Yeah, and it came from nowhere. I've never had it.
Never had it before?
Yeah, and the thing with moss is it comes in, one, where it's either wet, it's lacking nutrients. That's something that most people don't think of. The soil's compacted. That's a big one, where soil's compacted. The pH is is acidic. A lot of times, you know, you can cure it with just adjusting your pH correctly. And again, in this area, if you see moss, it's going to be acidic. So you need to put down either line or what we love is Magical from Jonathan Green. But there are also like quick kills for moss. Like for instance, Bonide has a product that's called Moss Max. And there's a ready to spray and there's a granule. Kind of does the same thing. That it uses potassium soap. You'll see that in a lot of weed controls. And it also works, good thing is it works on lichen. Hey, you ever, like people come in with that a lot. Oh, they're terrified. Oh, it's like, yes. I got this white stuff on.
Bad stuff.
And lichen is, a lot of times you see it on pines and you see it where it's just a white coating. You got to make sure that it's not an insect. But when it's lichen, it really doesn't do a whole lot. But it'll also get on your fences and your walkways. And that it's it's an easy fix. But and the same thing with moss. But the one thing about moss is that when the moss dies, its corpse is still there. You have to get, like, what did we talk about? Seed soil contact. Okay. If you're going to reseed, you need to get that in contact with the soil. So you need to rake it out. And that can be a chore. Mm-hmm. Now, one thing is that there's another product where it's a granule product and where it's real easy. And that's also called Moss Max. And that's easy to put down. It's going to take a little bit longer to work. That uses a type of iron, and it kills it that way. Just to jump in here, there's Weed Beater from Bonide. Weed Beater FERTU is a organic, non-selective. Take that back. It is selective. It's an herbicide. And they were looking for an organic replacement for Roundup where it's not using glyphosate. And that they tried this. And I used it. I used it recently on some plants that were grown in sidewalk cracks. And it made them incredibly green. I mean, not in a good way. It turned them almost to a black green. And that's the way this worked. But it's safe in the lawn. It doesn't hurt the lawn. It also works in low temperatures. And here's the best part. You can reseed in a day.
That's quick.
Okay? Yeah. The amount of iron is safe for your lawn that's in it. And it's, it's something that I will try because, first of all, I have some. And that, again, it's called Weed Beater F-E-R-T. Then RTU means ready to use. And it works real simple. But again, I can't seed until I get that corpse of the moss out of there. The moss, it just blankets everything. And that you can't get the seed into the soil. And it's not going to grow roots through the moss into the soil. It's going to dry out by the time it gets to that soil. So you still have to do a little bit of elbow grease work, you know.
So what do you think caused yours? Because you're
mine. My lawn has a lot of crabgrass that I've been trying to take care of, and that it's compacting. The soil's a little bit compacted, but it's more so that it. I feel like I'm really. While my wife was sick, okay, I didn't take care of it. My lawn was not a priority. Yeah. That's over a 10-year period. Wow. I did apply, like the first application to crabgrass control, and then I wouldn't get back to it. So it's the nutrient value that's in the soil is not enough to keep the lawn full. So there you go. And it just was over time that eventually, you know, I now was like, that's why I was so surprised. I've got moss. Yeah. How do I have moss? So
there you go. You know, that's how you know. You need to be consistent on what you do with the
grass. That's right.
Because if you miss, like, you know, a year or two or less.
Like, I'm not this year. I'm not feeling
that's
it.
That's what happens, right? All their nutrients, like you're saying, are gone. And
right. And it's not hard. You know, it's not hard.
No,
but
get it back.
You know, do you know what Shoemaker syndrome is? You've never heard of that?
No.
Aaron?
I have, but I'm not familiar with what it is.
So Shoemaker syndrome, they used to say guys like had the shoemakers had the worst shoes. Because they would wear out and they wouldn't fix them because they were too busy fixing everybody else's shoes. And so that's called Shoemaker syndrome. And there's a lot of business, like, you know, a carpenter who's got his house is a little bit run down because they didn't have a chance to fix it.
Right.
You know, and there are sections of my yard that, I've got Shoemaker syndrome, you know. So, but there are other parts that are, you know, doing amazingly well.
That's great.
But my lawn is one of them because it's a challenge because I have two things. I have the moss now. Okay. I also have the issue. Right. Well, crabgrass isn't there yet.
Oh, no.
So, but I did have it.
Okay.
I had the biggest one is that Kalinga, which is a sedge, which comes out. It's coming up already.
Already.
Wow. And that the Kalinga where that is the – it looks good enough – long enough,
right.
But then in the fall, it gets real ugly real fast. And that's my biggest battle. And I'm at the point where I need to spray it and wipe it all out. And instead of trying to renovate my lawn, I need to replace it.
The whole thing. Wow.
So
the Kalinga has taken quite a bit of your
grass. Yeah, it looks, I mean, you wouldn't know.
You wouldn't know it.
Until the fall, and all of a sudden it starts turning brown. It's weird.
Ugly color. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can understand.
But the moss is the bigger issue because now I can't just power seed into it.
Right.
I've got to physically remove the moss. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, I don't have that much.
Have you aerated yet?
Aerated last year.
Oh, I did?
Yep. Okay. Yep. So overall, moss is something that you can tackle. It's great because there's a product that is not that, you know, it's not like a super duper chemical that you should be scared with, you know, skull and crossbones. Mm-hmm. So
that's good.
It can be taken care of. But you do have to make sure that you adjust your pH, that you make sure that you're putting down your fertilizer at least 3 to 4 times a year. Mm-hmm. And you need to make sure that you create that, raise that pH.
Yeah. If you haven't checked your pH, folks, you got to do that.
That's it. That's it.
We can do it for you for free.
Check your local garden center. They'll check your pH. You know, they have pH testers that you just bring a soil sample in and ask. Give a call before you stop out. Mm-hmm. All right, we'll be back in the garden right after this. Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. 1-880, and we'll see you in the garden. Your next houseplant is waiting for you in Bloomers Home and Garden Center's greenhouse. Bloomers recognizes that houseplant choices are as important to your interior decorating as the fabric on your couch. The right plant paired with the perfect container can bring a dynamic change to your home. A houseplant brings life to your world and connects your home's interior to the greater outdoors. Even a small succulent placed on your coffee table has a way of connecting your living room to the Amazon rainforest. How about an air plant in your kitchen? Looking for an indoor flowering plant to add color to your plant palette? Bloomers has a large revolving assortment of flowering beauties. From aglaonemas to ZZ plants, Bloomers Greenhouse is stocked with your next favorite indoor plant. Bloomers carries a large selection of pottery and containers to match your home's decor and make any of your plants more beautiful. Bloomers experts can help you care for your plants and have the fertilizer, insecticides, leaf shine, and specialty soils you need to grow healthy and happy indoor plants. Visit Bloomers Home and Garden Center's greenhouse and make every room in your home a living room. Visit bloomers.com for more information. That's bloomers.com, and we'll see you in the garden.
You're listening to Bloomers in the Garden Radio. Listen anytime through your favorite podcast provider or see and hear us by subscribing to Bloomers' YouTube channel. Bloomers in the Garden Radio is heard in Philadelphia and throughout the whole Delaware Valley every Saturday. First, wake up with us at 6 a.m. on WNWR The Word at 95.3 FM and 1540 AM. Tune in at 8 a.m. to Bloomers in the Garden Radio on Talk 860 WWDB. A rebroadcast of Bloomers in the Garden Radio is played each Saturday evening at 5 p.m. on The Word, 95.3 FM and 1540 AM. On Sunday at 8 a.m., we can be heard throughout the New York tri-state area on Classic Oldies, 1250 AM WMTR. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the garden. Hey, welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. I'm Len. He's Julio. Right, then we have Aaron. Aaron's laughing right now. And then we have Sam behind the glass. So, one of my favorite and one of the most versatile landscape plants are dwarf lilacs. So, dwarf lilacs are a 4x4, 4x6. Yeah. And that they're, depending on the variety, like, and some of you maybe Miss Kim sound familiar? Mm-hmm. Miss sure. Kim. And it's a shrub, not like the lilac that gets, you know, that's always lilac, you know, is it a shrub or is it a tree?
Yeah.
You know, we're going to have a show where we do a segment. Where, is it a shrub or a tree? Because yeah. Lilacs can get to be 10 to 15 foot tall, yeah. But these are dwarf lilacs and that they're more of a landscape plant. We have do have an honorable mention to the boomerang repeat blooming lilac at the end. So, Julio, I'm designing my landscape. It has a deciduous shrub. It's a deciduous shrub that is woody, that stays. It's not something that, like a perennial that disappears. It stays. It's about the size of an azalea, right?
Yeah.
So if you took that, it's about the size of an azalea.
Sure.
It has the similar flowering shape as a regular lilac. Also, best part, very, very fragrant. Very fragrant. It's an excellent pollinator. Usually begins blooming in mid-May, maybe a little later, depending on how the weather's going. And that, but it's just fragrant. And that there are different varieties where Miss Kim, for instance, where this one is a little more upright and it blooms a little bit later and it extends the season. And the buds themselves are deep purple. And the flowers come out like a lavender blue and super fragrant.
Really,
I like Miss Kim.
Yeah, I like that one.
There's been a few different ones that have come out over the years, but none have been able to take it.
Yeah.
No.
Miss Kim is it.
And a lot of times you'll call these, they're a three-season plant. So, again, it goes from being deciduous where it's basically no foliage on it, and then the foliage comes out in the blooms themselves. Again, it's got it'll end up being the lavender blue, but the foliage in fall is tinged a little red, almost burgundy. Very hardy, very, and where some of the lilacs get powdery mildew, this is a mildew resistant. If you have an area in the distance where you need to do a mass planting of these would be great because you see them. It's not like there are some plants where you kind of, I have a plant, and this isn't because I'm going to become a grandfather, okay? I planted a long time ago when my kids were little. Peekaboo Dutzia. Peekaboo.
Dutzia, yeah.
Peekaboo Dutzia. Great name. Stupid plant.
What a doozy. That's what it makes me think about.
Really?
Peekaboo Dutzia?
Dutzia.
Okay.
Do you see it? The flower is boring.
No. That's what it sounds like it's asking. Peekaboo, do you see it?
Do you see it? That's good. Do you see it? All right, that's good. All right. But it's interesting enough, but where I have it, it's just...
Eh. It's just there.
Yeah. 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 I don't know. One of those things.
That's how I feel about my camellia.
Really?
Both of them. They're on the sides of my house. I don't get to enjoy it.
The side of the house.
Yeah. I don't get to enjoy it in the front, like when I'm walking in and out daily. And they're blooming like crazy. So
I love camellias. Yeah. Dwarf lilacs. Again, like I said, super hardy. Hardy, it's in our listening area for sure. But it's the fragrance. It's the fragrance. Put it in an area, like Aaron just said, put it in an area where you'll enjoy it. Like camellias, I understand exactly what he's talking about.
I always talk about my garbage cans.
My garbage cans.
I can't fit any other plants by my garbage cans, but I mean, I'm
great spot.
It's right where the driveway is. Well, they love that spot, but also I'm there all the time.
Yeah.
I can walk around to the backyard. I can walk around to the deck and then go into the back door. When I've got to put the trash out, I'm always going by it. So again, put it in an area that you know that there's going to be traffic there. Like, I don't use my front door.
No, I never see you go in there.
There's sometimes where I go and I realize, like, wow, this is what the Amazon guy sees. It's like, this is pretty bad. I need to actually sweep up some of this stuff. Yeah. But
kind of let it go.
Because we always use the garage and in the back door. Yeah. So put it in an area where you are. That's the trick. That's a trick. And that's with all plants. So what is Boomerang? It's a proven winner. BW. Boomerang Lilac first came out and it was a bomb. And it was because they made all these promises didn't perform. So they took it back and they worked on it. And I'll tell you what, it is the real deal now.
So weren't they claiming that it was like an extreme rebloomer when it first came out?
Yes, exactly.
And a lot of people only said only got one one real bloom out of it.
And that's one thing, the hype on reblooming things, that they may reflower, but it's not like, it's like, oh my gosh, it's like it may just, you know, pop something out now and then.
Right.
You know, but this one turned out to be the real deal where it'll send up its first, you know, spring bloom, and then it will go and send up blooms throughout the summer and fall. Disease resistant, doesn't get ugly, and this is not necessarily a dwarf. Think of it as a small regular lilac. So those ones that, you know, you're not sure if they're a tree or not, that this is going to be a little bit smaller, but it has that same shape. The leaf on the other lilacs are a little bit different on the like Korean lilacs or the dwarf lilacs, Miss Kim lilac. The leaves are a little different and it's more of a rectangled plant. This is the Boomerang is an upright plant. So very, very similar to its namesake, regular lilac, but it doesn't quite get as tall. Benefits? Ooh, fragrant. Mm-hmm. What did you see? Well, you saw something.
Attracts butterflies.
Absolutely.
Deer resistant, by the way.
Deer resistant. There you go. That's the one I like.
That's big.
Yeah. Especially now that you have
Bambi's father living near me. Yeah. So, but again, it's a great plant if you like fragrant plants, and again, it would be a little bit taller. So I would think, you know, you're looking at probably maybe 6 to 8 feet tall, and it's a little narrower than the standard Korean lilac or dwarf lilac.
Great plants.
Fragrance is fragrance. I love fragrance. In the studio today, we brought in some dianthus. Dianthus have a great fragrance. Certain varieties more than others. I think that it's an underused attribute of a lot of plants where they're grown for fragrance. And I don't mean stuff that have just stinky leaves like boxwood. That's a horticulture joke. Cleo, what does boxwood smell like?
Pee.
What? I'm sorry.
Pee.
I can't hear you.
Pee.
Pee?
Yeah, that's what people tell me. I don't smell it.
Cat urine.
Cat urine?
Certain ones, but not all.
Yeah, mine don't.
Mine
yours
don't either.
Yeah, well, see, you may have it, the varieties that don't, but the old ones, ugh.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Our Rusto or something like that. It starts with an A. Yeah, Arbusto or Arbusto boxwood.
I've never heard. I'm not sure which one.
Yeah, Arbusto, I think, is what it's called, but it's light. It's a light
green.
Green, really
is
light.
It real
green.
Woody?
Almost, yes.
All right, yeah. So that's a Korean boxwood.
Okay,
yeah, it's a Korean boxwood. They do not have that odor. No. Doesn't last that long. Yeah. But there are so many plants that are underused that have fragrance, and that. It's an attribute when you're thinking about your landscape. You think about the color, you think about the leaves, you think about how tall and everything else. But one thing, think about the fragrance. And I tell the story, I think, every year about this time, is that I planted my next to where my daughter parked her car
a Korean spice viburnum. So every time in the spring when she would get into her car, she would smell the fragrance. Wow.
That is a beautiful
What a good dad, huh?
Oh, you're
incredible. I'm going to be even better, Grandpa. All right.
He's just trying to stay out of the nursing home. That's all.
Hey.
I get it.
Here. Get off my lawn, kid. All right.
Go down the street and play.
Yeah, right. We'll be back in the garden, I think, after this. Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden. Fertilome Succulent Potting Mix with EcoPeat is the perfect ready-to-use potting mix for all your succulents. Fertilome Succulent Potting Mix is a blend of sphagnum peat moss, perlite, and EcoPeat. EcoPeat is a natural wood fiber from peat bogs. When added to Fertilome peat moss, it produces a superior professional substrate with an exceptional ratio of air porosity and water holding capacity. Fertilome succulent potting mix will ensure maximum drainage with ideal water retention. It's simply the best succulent mix on the market. Ask for Fertilome by name at your local garden center. Available at Daniels Garden Center, Sumneytown Pike, Harleysville, Pennsylvania. Gasper's Home and Garden, 316 Tanyard Road, Richboro, PA.
Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. Yes, sir. It's safe to plant tomatoes. When we tell them May 15th, they plant anyway. May 15th is the official frost-free date throughout our broadcast area. From the New York tri-state area to Philadelphia and the Delaware Valley. But do they listen to us?
No. just the other day, guy comes in, you know, all cocky. Like, yeah, I'm going to be planting my tomato plants. It's like, look, May 15th is a frost-free day. It's like, nah, I always plant in the middle of April.
It's like, that's right.
Well, good for you. You probably complain because they don't do anything. Right. Look, guys, it May 15th. And there's a lot behind that. Mm-hmm. You know, first of all,
yeah, we just don't say that.
No.
It is.
And right. Like a lot of people say, oh, Mother's Day, it's like close enough. But where it just drives it crazy because I'm picturing this guy and he's like, what are you looking at me? I'm a moron to tell you this? So like you really think you know? Anyway. All right. Here's a couple of things that go wrong when you plant too early. Soil temperatures, Coolio.
Right.
Soil temperatures can fluctuate. And when the soil temperatures are cold, okay, and you plant your tomato plants or your pepper plants or your eggplant and it's too early and those soil temperatures are low, the plant suffers and it damages the root system of the plant. It's not like, you know, like, hey, I beat Joe. I got my tomatoes in.
Yeah,
you know, and what happens is like, yeah, they're not going to do anything because they're all dwarfed now because they're all damaged. The roots damaged. They've got to grow out of it. So, you know, and then they'll come. How come my tomatoes don't look good?
Yeah.
It's like, well, it's better off. They'll do much better if you plant it when it's really warm out, and then they'll take off from there rather than. They're grown in a greenhouse. They are not subject to cold temperatures because they want something that looks good on the shelf. Cold temperatures are going to make them look yellow. And that if you just do it too soon, it doesn't pay off. But if you, by God's grace, all of a sudden we get, you know, 65 degree days and we get 50 degree nights, they'll be okay, but it's all about the soil temperature.
It is.
The fluctuation in soil temperature in 1 week, went from 50 degrees to 60 degrees.
And no problem.
But the issue is,
is that it can go the other way in April. Like we're supposed to get some rain. It's supposed to be some cold rain. That cold rain is going to change that soil temperature. And all of a sudden now you're going to have damaged roots. Yeah. So again, okay. All right. Here's a little inside baseball.
Little Phillies.
Knowing the phases of the moon will help. I was taught, trained, and explained by my family, who were farmers, multiple generations, and that the last full moon before May 15th was usually always a frost. Now, in 3 days from hearing this broadcast, you're hearing it on the 20th, you might hear it on the 21st, April 23rd is the next full moon. Now, that is going to be a cold night if it's clear. If we have a clear night, it's going to be cold. And more than likely, we will have a frost. But you still have to watch the weather right up until May 15th. We had a frost at May 17th that wiped out all of our impatience and everything else. And that caught us off guard because we were supposed to May 15th. So don't be too cocky about getting your things in the ground when plants that are wanting to have it hot and our peppers and eggplant and cucumbers and squash and watermelon, basil. Oh, my gosh, basil. My gosh. Yeah. Basil. You want black leaves on basil? Mm-hmm. You know, let it get a frost. Impatiens, begonias, marigolds, coleus, and Gerber daisies. You can plant right now without worry about frost or not. Lettuce, cabbage, beets, kale, kohlrabi, Julio.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
Broccoli, cauliflower, dusty miller, dianthus, petunias. Petunias don't mind it cold. A lot of proven winners that you see, like, for instance, calibrachoa and petunias, that they can take it cold. One of the best growers in the country grows their combo pots, their proven winner combo pots, outside. And so think about that. So they'll be outside probably within the next couple of weeks, but they're the proven winter plants. It's all about soil temperature. It's all about frost. And remember that even though it may be above 32 degrees, we still can get a frost. That's the difference between a frost and a freeze. Okay. Don't gamble by trying to play chicken with the frost-free day. It's May 15th. If you want to do it, go ahead. But like we always say at the end of the show, we'll see you in the garden because you'll be back at Bloomers replacing your plants. So anyway, it doesn't do your plants any good, but you've got plenty to do. I mean, again, it's just the peppers and the eggplant, the cucumbers and the squash and the watermelon, tomato and the basils. You need to put the brakes on. Yeah. We'll be back in the garden right after this.
Spring is here, and people have a lot of questions about Weed and Feed. There's one simple answer: BioAdvanced 5-in-1 Weed and Feed. Just one application kills lawn weeds and prevents new weeds and crabgrass up to 6 months. And if crabgrass is already growing, it kills that too. Plus, 5-in-1 feeds and greens your lawn. BioAdvanced 5-in-1 Weed and Feed. Get more from the blue bag.
Dreaming of a gorgeous garden? Give your azaleas, rhododendron, blueberries, and evergreens a powerful boost with the number one acid-loving plant food, Espoma Organic Hollytone. Hollytone is a perfect blend of natural, long-lasting ingredients that nourish plants for stronger roots, faster growth, and bountiful blooms. Plus, it's easy to use and safe for people, pets, and planet. Visit Espoma.com for a retailer near you and helpful gardening tips. Espoma, a natural in the garden since 1929.
Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. Yeah. 1, 2, 3 is all you need. This is about the best information you can ever hear from this show. 1, 2, 3, make it grow. Oh, yeah. It's all about, and first of all, step one, you want to make sure that you enrich the soil. So enriching the soil with a It could be everything from bumper crop, which is a compost that is mixed. There's manure, there's bark rinds, there's earthworm castings. So you're starting in the soil. That's number one. Number two, a slow-release granular fertilizer that, or a non-organic fertilizer that has a polymer coating on it that breaks down over time through heat and also through water. That is number two, because again, a granular fertilizer. So first, the soil. Two is the granular slow-release fertilizer. And I'm not talking about 10-10. Here we go, Aaron, you ready?
Yep.
10-10-10. Okay, nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, NPK. All right, nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium. 10-10-10, 10-6-4, 5-10-5, 5-10-10. They are all old school chemical fertilizers, which release really quick. Mm-hmm. But the reality is that the nitrogen that's in it releases quick and it's unhealthy. It forces the plant to grow and it has a negative effect on your soil. So you want to use a slow release. Slow release organic, if you're putting in vegetables or even your flowers. And Espoma is the best way to go. Any of the Tones, because again, they have it specifically for, there's something called tree tone if you're planting trees. There is holly tone when you're planting their landscape and broadleafed evergreens and acid-loving plants like dogwoods, for instance. There's tomato tone and garden tone. Those are perfect. So you're one, enriching the soil with a soil compost, something like that. Two is a granular fertilizer. And number three, remember it's easy as one, two, three, is a water-soluble fertilizer. Not organic. We carried some organic type, but they stunk. They were not very good. And that I honestly think the companies that we had are gone. Even the Miracle-Gro had one for a short time, but it never got traction. Water-soluble fertilizer. And when we talk about that, that's where you take a teaspoon into a gallon of water, you take a measurement, and it's usually blue. Miracle-Gro is the most popular, but not what we recommend. We recommend Jax. Any of you out there, you old-timers, do you remember Peters? Peters fertilizer, that was actually Jack Peters, and that he developed it, sold it to Scotts. A limitation has worn off, and he is back, as the scientist he is, developing water-soluble fertilizer. He has the absolute best. If you have container plants, like proven winter plants, like a mixed container or hanging basket, we use it, and we irrigate with that and all of our annuals and our flowering annuals, and it's petunia feed, okay? And that's like a... You know, it's Jack's petunia feed. And the thing that the feed part, F-E, iron, that's the secret. They suck up a lot of iron, and iron will help your plants to have good green foliage, but it also is an analysis where the other things in it are going to help it to grow more flowers. So again, back to it. One, soil, compost, improving your soil. Two, granular fertilizer. Three, water soluble. Well, how often? Mm-hmm. Granular fertilizers are going to be every, depending on you're using a good product like any of the Espoma Tones, you're going to put on every 4 to 6 weeks. Of the polymer coated fertilizers, like Osmocote is probably the most popular, and that's a Scotts product. That's going to be every 3 to 4 months, depending on what the instructions say. But either way, please read the instructions on the container. I use the polymer-coated ones in my hanging baskets and also in my containers. Otherwise, I'm using the organics that are in the ground. Let's see. Water solubles, again, 2020. There's those numbers again, Aaron. Okay, nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium. That is the original analysis for water soluble.
Old school.
And it actually does a great job. Think of it this way. you have your nutrients. You have your nutrients coming from a the soil, okay, good soil. You have the granular, again, nutrients coming from to the plant through the granular, through the root system. But then you have the water soluble, like that. That's like using a multivitamin. It gives a kick every time.
Yeah, good kick.
And you, and again, it's something you do every couple of weeks. Where granular fertilizer, it's there. You got, you know, you get 4 to 6 weeks out of it, and then you reapply. Mm-hmm. If you're towards the end of the season, you don't. Mm-hmm. Except with Holytone, you do. Again, it,
you got to use that water salt. It makes a big difference.
It does. It does.
I mean,
it,
you might say, "Oh, I'm going to not do that."
That's
part.
So much work.
Yeah.
I mean, you
but
wanna,
your flowers just, are not going to be like ours.
I tell you what, that's true. Yeah. Okay, I can never get them to look those again.
Yeah.
It's the difference. I swear that using that, I used to think, this is, I'm sorry how I think, the blue water that's, you know, the blue because it has fertilizer in it, and that you water your, the plants with, like when you, it does stain if you get it on your hands, and that that blue stain makes your finger thumb, I'm holding up, green. So that's the thing that makes you have a green thumb. It's the blue, blue fertilizer. Yeah. If you're not using it, your thumb is not green.
No. There you go.
All right.
So you got to pick up that green thumb by buying your soluble fertilizer.
Therapist, I'm not uninterested. Okay. But again, it's a difference. If you do those three in combo, you'll have a great garden.
Yeah, success right there, folks.
All right. We'll be back in the garden right after this. Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden.
Yes, sir. 1, 2, 3.
1, 2, 3. It is a secret. Again, we'll simplify it. Again, compost in the soil, granular fertilizer on top of that, and then water it in with a water-soluble fertilizer. Magic.
Right.
Perennial gardens.
Right.
Your trees and shrubs. Mm-hmm. All of your plants. Yeah. And that's the trick.
Mm-hmm.
That's the trick.
Yeah, don't skip any of those 1, 2, 3s.
Right. And you'll be amazed. And you don't believe us? Try it on just one plant.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Try it on a houseplant.
Yeah, skip one.
Try it on a houseplant. Mm-hmm. One houseplant. Pick that, and you'll be... The thing is growing. It's the most beautiful it's ever been.
Yeah, that's it.
All right. We're going to be here next week, the same time, back in the garden. We'll see you in the garden.
See you in the garden.